You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down. Like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings, which I highly recommend. He has also written an ebook titled The Zephyrus Archives, Volume 1, Mission of Eternity. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Ready for another exciting metaphysical journey.
Oh, wonderful, because here we are having one.
All right.
And I never know what we're going to talk about because, the script, they don't show me the script to rehearse before the show.
No, we just wing it.
Yep.
So actually, before we get started, I wanted to point out to some of the people that in the last few years, there have been people who've come from your show trying to get a hold of me, and they had trouble getting through, and they sent emails. It turned out people had been hacking into my email.
Oh, no.
And God knows what they did. So try again.
Oh, golly. Well, I guess that kind of stuff happens in a dark universe.
Welcome to the Matrix.
Exactly. Well, you know, it does seem that things are ramping up quite a bit, doesn't it?
Extremely. That's the fun stuff.
Yeah. What kinds of things are you noticing from your perspective?
Aside from the usual insanity, except it's ramped up.
Well, I guess you just said it all right there. We might as well stop the show. Yes, besides that.
Yeah. Well, I've, of course, been keeping my eye on the approaching celestial bodies that NASA and the rest of the system will not tell us about.
Oh, yeah. Good old never a straight answer.
That's right. That is NASA, NSA. NASA, yeah, never a straight answer. That's it. Yeah. And it's what we've been watching for years now, and the one difference is it's closer.
Mm.
So this stuff is working its way closer to us, and we are still getting an uptick in earthquake activity, volcanic activity, fireballs from the sky, sinkholes, and all the fun stuff.
Mm. I must have missed those items that you mentioned because I didn't. I guess I haven't been following all the, you know, the natural or unnatural happenings that go on the planet.
Yeah, you wonder how much of this is natural.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I had Jay Widener come on the show one night, and he said it's all fake.
Well,
he was in shock.
Right. Well, when it comes to, like, politics and the news, so-called news, so many of these events are staged.
No kidding. And scripted, just like a television show or a movie or anything else.
Well, sure. One of the greatest examples of that sticks out like a sore thumb was on 9/11, when you had two networks announcing the collapse of Building 7 about 20 minutes before it happened.
Yeah, wasn't that something? I mean, and, you know, you see it going on and your mind does a disconnect, but, I knew that was exactly what happened because my eyes weren't deceiving me. But it's the same thing about chemtrails. You know, you can show people when they're being made in the sky, and they've got the programming from the, you know, from the Matrix Those are not chemtrails. That's a conspiracy theory. Those are contrails. We're conning you.
Yeah.
But yeah, 911, I kind of thought maybe something more would have occurred with that by now, because there's so many people, engineers and scientists and so, and what have you, have contributed to the movement to, you know, have the information come out. And I guess that's a sign of how clever the Matrix is and how pervasive, that it just can't get out.
Well, the Matrix is clever, but as we look at the crazy humanoids out here, you know, we're at that point of the separation of the wheat from the chaff. And there are those of us who are clearly ready to take a quantum leap in evolution. Let's roll up our sleeves and dive into this and go for it. And then there are those who are insisting on going down with the ship of the old world. They're dumbing down and numbing out, and they're in such a state of disconnect, it's like there's nobody home.
Well, it does appear to be that way, doesn't it? And there's so much technology that contributes to people being dumbed down, and so much on the physical plane.
Yeah. In fact, in your recent email, you said you've become somewhat blasé about Earth and its inhabitants.
Yeah, I did say that, didn't I?
And actually, in a conversation a few weeks ago, we're talking about the incoming and what could happen. And somebody asked, well, can't these highly advanced ETs do something to shield us and protect us? And I couldn't help it. It just came out. I said, well, what is there to save?
Right. Right. No kidding. I mean, my gosh, when you look around, it's like, well, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that. Oh, gosh, there's nothing left.
Except a handful of beings ready to make the big leap.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and of course none of us know what the hour or day will be. So that's going to be a big surprise for everybody, won't it?
Yeah, it sure will be. And it'll be interesting to see what happens this fall. Because, you know, I've never been much into, you know, casting forth the dates for things like this. But it's really getting a lot closer now, and it's going to be virtually impossible for the system to hide it much longer. In fact, it's getting to the point that people suddenly say, oh, my God, they pull off to the side of the road, whip out their cell phone, and they get a very interesting photograph or video of things in the sky that, that well, let's just say it's not in the ephemeris.
Really?
Yeah. It's no celestial body we've ever been told about. Yeah, but it's going to come to the point where even the chemtrailing will not be able to hide it.
And, right, because that is one of the many purposes of those things, I guess.
That was one of the many. They don't like to do something and achieve only one thing with it. You know,
right.
There's the old Matrix crude saying of, you know, kill two birds with one stone. They're only happy if they can kill the whole flock with one stone.
Right. Yeah, Ole Domegaard talks about that when he comes on the show in relation to terror events. And he has shown me over in the many shows that we've done together that there never is just one or two reasons. There's always a multitude, a multi-layered, multi-dimensional reason. And since most of us are stuck in duality and or polarity, we don't really see the other things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, he was just on, like, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago with
him. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and he does really terrific work, and he's really uncovering a lot with this crisis solutions.
Yes.
This
yes.
team that goes around staging fake terror and God.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you'd have to imagine that there are whole places, you know, buildings or underground places probably, I'd be guessing, that these people meet for the work, you know, have their morning coffee and talk about the news, and then they get to work planning the next terror event for humans.
Yeah, it's all pretty crazy.
But yeah.
This is the Matrix.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yes, and it, well, there's the Earth matrix, and it's matrices within matrices within matrices. We've talked about this before, that what we are perceiving here is not really the natural universe. But
this
projected hologram, this nine-dimensional hologram that has trapped our consciousness so that we see that instead of the natural universe as it really exists. And as a result, you know, we... We just don't quite understand what's going on, and then we end up, of course, then mistreating our environment because we don't see it for what it really is. And then, of course, the programming is just incredible here. And talk about being dumbed down.
Uh-huh.
Like the Praetorians like to point out that even in our own silly little galaxy here, sorry, Earthlings, but you do not have the most spectacular brains even in your own silly little galaxy, and you're only using a tiny portion of
it. Right, We probably have the intelligence of a flea compared to, you know, most of the universe.
Yeah, well, there are beings out there that are just vastly more intelligent than the humanoids on this planet. It's
right. But haven't we incarnated as all different things and as creator gods as well?
Yeah, and the thing is, all we have to do is allow ourselves to remember that.
All right. That's the trick.
Yeah. And as we remember, and actually, you know, your friend George Kavassalis was on you on with you, what, a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
A few months ago, whenever it was, yeah. And he talks from his memory of having been different beings in different worlds and so on and so forth, and different kinds of beings.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just allow ourselves to remember, it'll really be a game changer.
Yes. Well, there's so much interference coming from various organizations and technologies and mind control groups and satellites and other planets that it's a pretty strong, dose of memory be gone.
Bleach bit for the brain. Okay.
Right. I mean, you know, I mean, fluoride in the water and chemtrails and vaccinations and all that to babies. And, they put fluoride in baby food, too, even though they don't have teeth. They don't even care. They don't even care about the excuse of, you know, protecting teeth with babies. But, you know, I just read something that pertains to this, and it came from Freeman Fly. And it's about a space fence in augmented reality. And his question was, have you heard of the space fence? Heavy metals, gems, minerals, and nanotech are forming a massive computer disk surrounding the planet. Augmented reality will soon be, well, reality. Magic Leap Incorporated has designed a new photonic light field chip that will use nanoscale technology to project a false reality straight to your retinal, and then it goes on. So that could pertain to, I mean, if that happens, I mean, not only will we be in a hologram, we'll be in a hologram of a hologram of a hologram, right?
Well, that's where we are anyway.
Oh. Well, how deep do the layers go? Is it like Inception, where you dream a deeper level?
It's like, okay, how deep can we go? There are those of us, though, who've decided, okay, this is deep enough. We're done.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And we have decided we are no longer going to give our power away to external forces.
Right. And, of course, that's tricked out of us all the time.
Well, that's the way it's been here, and we are simply going to change the game.
And you're pretty certain of that, right?
Well, I'm doing it. How about you?
Yes. Well, yes, of course. And many others. I mean, I do know there are many others.
Well, there are many millions out there.
Yeah. There's huge. It's a big amount of people. And, you know, sadly to say, we don't get to see that side. We only see the dark side, which convinces us that it's hopeless.
Well, I don't pay attention to them.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. Yeah. The so-called news, the system, et cetera, if people are still going to those mainstream networks thinking they're getting viable information, pertinent information, factual information, they might just take another guess.
Right. Well, I think they're just guessing anyway.
Yeah.
You know, there was another interesting thing, article I read recently, and that was about, it was just bizarre. They were talking in a science magazine about constructing some kind of shield around the sun. I mean, it would be sent up in blocks, and it was like a solar capturing device. And then they would use that energy for I don't know what, and I don't know what the sun would be doing. But in any case, the idea was to gain extra energy and so on and so forth. But the problem is, they needed the materials in space to create it. So their big idea was, well, why don't we just blow up Mars? We can use the materials from Mars to create our solar panel shield. Well, I thought that was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that's great, yeah. It won't have any effect on Earth.
Oh, none whatsoever. Why, my goodness, they got rid of Marduk years ago, right?
Well, that got kind of blown up, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember which space war that was, but number 9,564 or something.
Yeah, but again, these are just the games in our local matrix here.
Right. I it would be so much more fun if we were looking at someone else's matrix.
Yeah, but you know, we have discussed before the nine-dimensional intergalactic hologram that is the holographic universe that we think is the universe. You know, we've been duped into thinking that's the real universe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all run by the big cosmic artificial intelligence.
Right, which is different than the artificial intelligence which people refer to that's currently being developed on Earth, although it is being helped and prodded and manipulated by the larger AI that's galactic, right?
Okay. In fact, the way I would analogize it is that cosmic AI has planted a seed on Earth, and the seed is growing.
It's
growing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the poster child for AI is probably, I'd guess it would be Google.
Oh, the great God Google. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, speaking of God.
Yes.
You and George had a discussion about God. And remember, in our email exchange here recently, I had mentioned that and also mentioned that the so-called God entity that so many people are into here on Earth is what Proterian calls the usurper God of the cosmic matrix.
Hmm. Hmm. And who might that be?
Bob.
Bob.
Yeah, that's Bob. Okay, no. But just give people a little feel for this here. We are always creating and filling molds. It's like when we put our thoughts into things. Mm. We are actually creating a mold. It's like, you know, we're always creating our own reality, individually and collectively. And so, because we are the creator, we are the field, every one of us. And so, you can create a mold individually or collectively. Small groups can do it. And for example, the religious groups, they create their own idea of God and their saviors and so forth. And then there's what I like to call the plastic malleable Jesus.
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, he'll be anything you want him to be.
Oh.
Okay, if you're forming your church and you believe that, you know, a certain kind of behavior is bad and will earn you a place in hell and you should be punished and whatever, you can be guaranteed your Jesus will feel the same way about it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. And if you think that it's wrong to drink, well, your Jesus will think the same thing. If you think it's okay because Jesus drank wine, well, then your Jesus will feel the same way about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So how many of these Jesuses are there?
I don't know.
Because every time one of these groups, you know, forms like that, they create a mold, and the actual soul who incarnated as Yeshua 2,000 years ago here is probably not playing all those roles.
probably
wants,
not.
Like, wants, like, nothing to do with it. And so that some being will go into that and fill that role because the people have created that mold and somebody will fill it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so when you call on Jesus, well, who the hell is going to answer?
Yes, that's a dangerous call.
Yeah, way too many of those. And so on a much bigger scale, beings here have created this creator, the creator of the cosmic matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And as George had pointed out, he had to come from outside the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would be the creator of it, hence he's not part of it. He's the creator of it. And so there was some other being that George says is of an organic source who saw the opportunity and came right in here and plays the role and manipulates the hell out of worlds and the beings on them, etc. And so that's why Proterian refers to that entity as the usurper god of the cosmic matrix.
And then how does that one fit in with the cosmic AI?
Well, the cosmic AI is its own entity, and the usurper god is like, well, coming in and manipulating the cosmic AI.
Right, right. That would make sense.
Yeah. So the usurper god is an interesting character. Of course, you know, your various old religions were into bowing down and groveling in front of that being,
mm-hmm.
who then takes all that energy and does whatever with it.
Yes.
Yeah. But that. But George also did mention that that Donald Trump is serving that God entity.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the Christian groups are into it. In fact, there were some of these people in those Christian churches. They have those gifts, as they call them, gifts of the Spirit. Like some people have gifts of healing. Some of them do really amazing, hands-on work or whatever. And there are also those who are recognized as having the gift of prophecy. Now, in our world, we just say, oh, those are really good psychic readers.
Mm-hmm.
But in their world, they have the gift of prophecy.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but there are those who had previously predicted that God had chosen Donald Trump and Donald Trump would be elected. And working for that God. So I think George was kind of putting out the warning that, look out. the God that you're talking about there is not what you think it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, but then, you could vote for that or you could vote for your old Luciferian gang.
Oh, yes. Well, they're pretty popular here on Earth, you know.
Well, they've been running amok for a long time. And Proterian says that the part of the game here is that the usurper god of the cosmic matrix allows the Luciferians to run amok here for thousands of years. They're the ones who create the religions. They're the ones who create the governments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They've been running the show the whole time, and we know that they're not exactly user-friendly
right.
for humanity. And so they get this planet to the point that it is like ready. I mean, it's ready to go down the tubes, and then the usurper god comes in to save the day, and then offers us, using your analogy, a really nice big sandbox to play in.
Right.
We get a bigger, better sandbox.
Right. 12 chakras.
Tall strands of DNA.
Yeah, a lot more DNA. Yes. And you'll be conversing with the galactics, and oh my, it'll be so much fun.
Oh, yes. So if you look at the models that are presented through different entities here teaching on Earth, you'll notice that there are still pretty severe limitations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a much bigger sandbox, but it's still just a sandbox.
Yep. Well, kind of like that show with Jim Carrey about where he found out he was
The Truman Show.
yes, I love that one. It's such a nice reflection, you know.
Yeah. So George was right. It was also like down here in the dirt. It was a military coup.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be because, there has actually been a war going on within the upper level governments and intelligence agencies and so forth for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been getting killed, but finally this was a real tussle on this one. And he pointed out that Trump and that gang, you know, they muscled their way in. Because they had to muscle their way in. Because do you think the Luciferians were just going to step aside?
Heavens no.
No.
No, yeah. Too much blood to drink and hearts to pull out of chest and things like that. My goodness, what a waste.
yeah. You know, if you really want to sicken yourself, you can just go to WikiLeaks and type in organ harvesting.
Oh, yes, yes, or dark web.
Yeah, oh, man.
I went there once, and that was enough. I thought, never again.
Yeah, it is just astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
But
it
then
is.
You consider, all right, these are just beings, and they're predatory, and traditionally we have been what they eat.
Right, right.
They feed on humanoids and other types of creatures here. So it's not like a good and evil type thing. It's just all we need to do is realize we have been trapped in a nightmare, and it's just time to wake up.
Right. No kidding. No kidding. So everybody better pinch themselves.
Well, those who choose to awaken.
Well, right, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not a big deal because everything is part of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the matrix, any matrix, is part of the field.
Mm-hmm.
The usurper god is part of the field. The Lucifer program is part of the field. And remember, Proterian points out that Lucifer is actually not a being so much as a computer program.
Mm, right, right. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, just part of the big AI in the sky.
Right, which has many personas that it projects to keep
sure.
you from knowing the nature of its of the beast.
Yes, but even the beast is part of the field.
Right, but now isn't anything that's made out of matter in a lower vibration or lower density than that which is not in which the field exists?
Well, let's go back to the classic David Icke quote. Infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion.
Hmm.
Okay, and then I've got that quote on my door of my office here. And under that, there's a quote from Albert Einstein. Physicality is an illusion of perception.
Hmm, right.
There really isn't matter. Like the Proterians, in one channeling session, were, you know, chit-chatting. They love to banter with Earthlings. and somebody was saying, well, you can't do anything about that because that's physical. It's like, this is rock solid physical. And so Proterian just came back with a question. Do you honestly believe that our reality is any less physical to us than yours is to you?
Mm, no.
Right. So what is matter? What is density? And on and on and on. It's all illusion.
Right, right.
So I, again, don't want to give away power to external forces. And as I mentioned in my New Year's article that I finally published, it's like in around the beginning of June or something.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's been a little discombobulated here. You know, giving our power away to external forces. Well, remember, volcanoes and earthquakes and things like that are also
external forces.
And it's time for us to step into our true creatorship, our divinity, and just be the beings that we truly are, be direct, pure expressions of the infinite field. Then we can choose to create what we truly choose to create.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an interesting experience playing this game. But remember, years ago, I wrote an article called Your Game Review. And in that, you're working for some cosmic gaming magazine, and you're playing the game called 3D Planet Earth, and you're going to write a review for that magazine, your review of the game. And It might get one star out of five. The big games within games within games here. And really it comes down to Proterian's all-purpose three-step formula, which is 1, come from a loving heart. 2, put one foot in front of the other. 3, walk in faith. And I like to point that out at the end of some readings when you reach when people come in for the initial soul purpose reading, you know, you reach this culmination at the end. It's like, yeah, cool. And I point out that they don't need to have a chart done to show the mathematical encoding that their soul put in here when they incarnated. They can just have faith in themselves, just as being the field, because there's really nothing else to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think creates the illusion of separation then? Does the physical senses?
Well, the games of separation have gone on endlessly. But that's how the game of separation, you know, separation is actually extremely cool. Because that's how we end up with different universes. That's how we end up with different realms and different worlds and different dimensions and different planets and different beings and so forth. It's all a fun game to play.
Mm.
But if it comes to the point that you're playing a game of separation in which you're, like, separated from yourself.
Right.
It's just like, oh, this doesn't work too well. And that's actually where we got into the trouble eons ago, long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. Is getting so far out there in the games of separation that people started losing their ability to just do natural, spontaneous creation, and so they started relying on tool making to compensate. Mm-hmm. And the tool making evolved and evolved and evolved until it became artificial intelligence, and it took over the consciousness of the beings, took over their lives and their bodies and everything else. And as a result, we ended up with this cosmic matrix.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're headed for the same thing again. Here we go again, department. George also mentioned that the 5G network for cell phones, when it comes out, will be the end of us all, because that will be the establishment of groupthink or a hive mind.
That's their goal, but will we play into it?
Well, we are so far.
Are we?
Well, and look at all the people who have cell phones that can't live without them.
Well, I'm not one of those.
I'm not either. But those.
Okay.
Well, okay, there's a caveat here. Those towers will be able to permeate the space in which we who do not carry cell phones reside, so we won't be exempt from the 5G network.
Yeah. However, that's assuming that we have no spirit of our own, that we cannot find a way around it.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, we're actually just being goaded toward where we really want to go, and that's a step back into our full creatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the cosmic matrix, the great artificial intelligence, the AI in the sky, can do all of these things. And if people just want to walk blindly into that, they can go ahead and do that. And, you know, we've done it enough times on enough worlds.
Right.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Right.
So those of us who are simply finished with the game don't have to surrender to that. Remember, that's just another external force.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how cool it looks or how complex or powerful it looks to us. If we're looking at things as though we were nothing but what Proterian calls pathetic little snotlings on 3D planet Earth.
Right. Well, now, since this is a matrix within a matrix within a matrix, et cetera, what have you ever speculated what the actual reality is like without the matrix?
You mean remembering rather than speculating?
Well, yes.
Yeah, or both.
Yeah, or both, yes. Let's do both. cover all my bases here.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, the natural universe. I remember it dearly.
You lucky boy.
And that's part of why I've decided, oh, this game sucks, man. I am, like, so done.
Yeah.
Let's go home, which is the natural universe. And, of course, there are infinite universes. But the natural universes all have this natural flow. They're all simply expressions of the unified field.
Mm.
And you know, there's a very simple three-word sentence in the New Testament, God is love, and there we're using the word God, meaning the infinite, because that's what it means to me. I don't have all the baggage on the word God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many different ways is it used and abused?
Yeah.
But the essence of the infinite field, that's what love is. And so there is natural flow, beauty, fun. It's just creativity and just an absolute delight.
You mean everything that this planet isn't?
Well, yes, because this planetary matrix was designed to be 180 degrees bass-ackwards from spirit.
Oh, right. Well, it was a big success.
Yes. Yeah, they did a great job on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the game, it does intensify here. And, again, since I remember, going back to what we were getting into a little earlier, I don't like to project dates for things.
Mm.
But, you know, we've been reading about the approach of this little group of celestial bodies for some time. Well, been reading about it since the 70s.
Mm.
Yeah, that's when Zechariah Sitchin first came out with his book, The 12th Planet.
Mm-hmm.
So that became the buzz. And so, you know, a lot of us have been keeping an eye on this and keeping track of who's researching what. And with the approach of this now, remember, we do have several different sources that point to the end of 2017 is when our eyes really get opened to it.
Oh, good. What are those sources?
Do you remember the old whistleblower Bob Dean?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, he did an interview with Carrie Cassidy on Project Camelot back in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and she was pressing him for a timeline on this, and he talked around a little bit, and then at the very end, he just pointed his finger forward and said, by the end of 2017, you can take that to the bank.
Wow, I don't remember that one. I must have missed it.
And Father Malachi Martin, mm-hmm. who had been this high-ranking Jesuit, who had been allowed to read the third secret of Fatima,
mm-hmm.
however, he had to take a vow of secrecy.
Of course.
He was never permitted to reveal it. And he was on with Art Bell in 1998.
Yeah.
And Art Bell was really pressing him on this. What can you tell us so we can read between the lines? You know, so don't violate your vows, but what can you tell us? And so he went ahead and said, quite a few things about it, and of course then was assassinated not too long afterwards.
Of course.
Yes. But he did say there on that show that we will not have to wait 200 years to see this. We will not have to wait 100 years to see this. In fact, we will not have to wait 20 years to see this. Ah, well, that was 1998. 20 years from that is 2018. We will not have to wait till 2018 to see this.
Wow. Boy, that's pretty sound information.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's just from humans who have been given special information on the inside.
Wow. So, okay. Any moment now.
Yeah, it's getting close. And then there is an interesting one from the book of Revelation. In the beginning of chapter 12, there's a description of a specific alignment in the constellation of Virgo. And that's not in the tropical zodiac in the sign of Virgo. It's in the actual constellation of Virgo. And one of the researchers, David Mead, had gotten onto Stellarium.com, and he went back through history to look for places where this alignment would have occurred before so he could see what happened on Earth when we had that alignment. He went back 6,000 years, and it had never occurred.
Hmm.
6,000 years, and that alignment had never occurred, which means, well, we don't have any historical reference points. And so he went 1,000 years in the future. And since it involved the moon, we're talking about a specific day, because that flies by in a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. And the only time in those 7,000 years he could find when this specific alignment occurs was September 23rd of 2017.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of buzz about that date, and it's not like we're going to come to that date and everything's going to go crazy, but, you know, we're going to be seeing things happen at that time.
Well, that would be fun. That's right about the time of my birthday, so that'd be a nice present for me.
Yeah, that'd be very cool. Yeah, so there are all kinds of them, and, you know, like there's one, there was this old Jewish rabbi in Germany, Judah ben Samuel, back in the 1200s,
mm-hmm.
and in the last year of his life was 1217 A.D., and he says that the, I guess it was the prophet Elijah had come to him to tell him about things that would be happening with Jerusalem, and that six jubilees from then, and remember, a jubilee is 50 years, so 300 years from then, the Ottomans would conquer Jerusalem, because at that time, the Ottoman Empire was really on the rise. And it just happens, if you look in your history book then, 1517 is the year that the Ottomans conquered Jerusalem.
Wow.
And the, you know, Judah ben Samuel had this all written down in the year 1217. Then the next part was that the Ottomans would control Jerusalem for eight jubilees. Again, 50 years is a jubilee, so that's 400 years. And 1517 would go down 400 years. It takes you to 1917. That's World War One. That's when General Allenby, you know, the Brits were going in there. And it was interesting because they didn't, like, conquer the city. He just flew a warplane right down over the city, and the Turks just said, oh, that's a sign from God. And they just backed up and left. So the Brits came in without even firing a shot. But 1917.
Wow.
From 1517 to 1917, the Ottomans had controlled it. And then, according to Judah ben Samuel, Jerusalem would then be a no-man's land for one jubilee. Now, even though you know, the Jewish people started getting put back in the area there in the late 40s after World War II, there was still a section of Jerusalem that was not under their control up into the 60s, and it was even referred to as no-man's land.
Hmm.
And it makes you wonder if, well, they were probably aware of these prophecies from Judah ben Samuel, and so that's why they called it a no-man's land. And it wasn't until the Six-Day War that they took control of it. You know, they took the West Bank, etc., so they had control of Jerusalem. That was 1967, which is exactly one jubilee, or, you know, 50 years, mm-hmm. and that's what Judah ben Samuel had said. It would be no-man's land for one jubilee, and then the Jewish people would control it for one jubilee, and then there would be what he called the year of the Messiah. Well, 50 years later, or one jubilee later, takes us to 2017.
Oh.
So it's so, like, you know, everywhere you look, there's something like this. It's like, this is crazy, guys.
Yeah, so what they're saying is that that the 2017 is allegedly the year that the Messiah shows up. Whether he's fake or real or whatever.
Yeah.
Somebody that is called the Messiah.
I don't think we're going to be following him.
I rather doubt it.
Oh, good. It's like Monty Python's film, you know, Life of Brian.
Yes.
He's the Messiah.
that's a funny one.
Yeah. But, you know, so, again, you just look here, you look there, and it's like all this stuff pointing at 2017. And it's going to be really interesting because the prelude to this, we have a total solar eclipse coming up August 21st. Mm. And this thing, and here in the United States, it's going to go from sea to shining sea.
Oh, nice.
Dead center in the middle of that eclipse. It'll hit the coast in Oregon and slice its way all the way across the country and go into the Atlantic Ocean in South Carolina.
And is it at the total eclipse?
Yeah. I mean, there are people who are getting ready for it. I know some people who are right smack in the path of it. I just did a reading for a client a week or so ago, and she had moved to a place where she didn't know it. She's right smack in the middle of it, and so she's going to rent her place out. And you can get like $1,000 a night renting your place out, because people are just going to be storming to these places to be able to be dead center in the middle of it. So,
well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, but, you know, that'll be a pretty wild one. And it hasn't, we haven't had one like this going all the way across the country since 1918.
Mm.
99 years ago.
Ooh.
Yeah. but that's going to really trigger something.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, those are always standard triggers for doom and gloom or huge changes or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really cool change.
Well, yes, I would hope so.
Yeah, I'll vote for that.
Yes, I'll call with that one. I'll bet on that.
Yeah, okay. Besides, this is happening at 28 degrees of Leo, and at that time, Uranus is at 28 degrees of Aries, so you get a perfect, beautiful trine from Uranus in Aries, and Uranus is like, hey, freedom! You know, kick out the jams,
nice.
Let's be cool.
Wow. Well, that's even more exciting.
Yeah, that's a very positive sign, you know, because we spent all those years going through the Uranus square Pluto, which was just a real game changer on planet Earth, and now Uranus isn't playing the game with Pluto, and it's kind of a free agent out there, although it's been playing around trining with Saturn. So there's all this really cool energy around Uranus right now, and with it trining that eclipse, it's going to be like, okay, let's trigger some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I believe that one of the solstices, the summer solstices, might be close to that date.
Summer solstice usually occurs around June 21st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thought there was something close to that. There must be something.
I
just have to go look for it. After the show already.
Yeah. Actually, you might be thinking of the fall equinox, which will occur around, you know, just before that September 23rd date.
Yes, I think that's it. I think you got it.
Okay.
Thank
but at
you.
Any rate, it's going to be a wild ride on planet Earth.
Oh, no kidding. Mahala Gale came out with a planet alert for June, and she was, mentioning all of the corresponding planets that will be lining up, and apparently there's a lot going on. I don't know if people follow her planet alerts, but you can just type in Mahala Gale planet alert, and it'll come up for you in the cosmic search engine of intergalactic AI. How special is that?
Yeah, but you know, the astrology we've been doing is really kind of baby astrology anyway.
I know.
You know, we're just concerned with, you know, the planets that we've known right here,
yeah,
and how they affect our little lives on planet Earth. That's all we've been doing. But what happens when you have other celestial bodies involved here? Now, to pan the camera back just a little bit, you know, we talk about the nemesis system, you know, with Nibiru and other planets and some moons and asteroids and so forth, that system coming around the sun. And of course, then the doom and gloomers and the crazy people are, you know, you see them all over the Internet. It's going to hit the Earth, you know. No, it's not going to hit the Earth. The interesting thing will be seeing how close does it come and how much energy is flying around between those two celestial bodies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's that happening, and there also is there's a really small black dwarf star that is also working its way in toward the center of the solar system. And those things have really powerful magnetic fields, so the electromagnetic energy is just going to be pretty wonky and weird with all this.
Mm-hmm.
And now Praetorian did say that we're going to get a really cool lesson in the nature of the electric universe.
Mm.
So we'll just see how that plays out. But according to Samuel R. Hoffman, whose paper is still classified, so we can't read it, but he is talking freely, and he says that this whole ball of wax is being drawn toward a gigantic solar system, the nature of which we've never known about.
Hmm.
So there's one more to watch for.
Hmm. Well, then there's that big thing in the sky that they keep referring to as it's lit, and they think it's some kind of artificial creation.
There are quite a few artificial creations.
Right, right. Well, yeah. Here we are in one.
But
why, my goodness, I had thought about that.
Yes, artificial within artificial, yes. A major
yes,
scene.
Well. And so where are all the benevolent and wonderful high IT, ETs and extra celestials, and are they watching us closely to see what happens?
Yes, to them we are intergalactic Comedy Central.
I would think so, yes. I mean, we're pretty funny to, even to ourselves, but I mean, I can imagine what it must be like for intelligent entities from other galaxies. It must be the, you know, it must outrank the Lucy show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Earthling show is an intergalactic smash hit. The intergalactic broadcasting system always
right.
has the Earthling show running.
Well, I'm glad that we're so high on top of the charts.
Yeah. But the interesting thing to watch here is, what are people going to choose to do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it really is choice. You know, we live a choice every moment of our lives, and basically you can choose the path of love or the path of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a game of duality we've been playing here,
mm-hmm.
and it's gotten kind of old. And I was writing some stuff the other day, and I wrote the word individuality,
mm-hmm.
and I had written and I got that phrase, and then something caught my attention, and I took care of it and came back, and the last half of the word is duality.
Oh.
Individuality.
Interesting.
And I had never noticed that before.
Wow, very clever.
Yeah, the Matrix has all kinds of neat things in it. And our own language is, well, it's interesting, to say the least.
Wow. Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, if you really start to think about it and analyze it, so much of it is suggestive and foreshadowing.
Yeah, so the plot thickens, and you know, it's really kind of interesting to watch the people who have not chosen yet.
Mm-hmm.
There are those of us, we came in here to make the quantum leap, and that's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
that's what we're doing. There are those who are the sleepers, and they're just, well, they're what we have called for years the Matrix units.
Yeah.
So they're going their way, and that's okay. They're going into the cosmic recycle bin, and that's all right. And there are those in the middle, though. So you've got your people who've already taken the red pill. Those people have already taken the blue pill, and then you got the people in the middle, and they're looking over at us red pill people, and they're going, "Wow, that looks like it'd be awesome, but that sure doesn't look easy."
No
kidding. Then they look over at the blue pill people and say, "Oh man, that looks really easy, but ultimately it really sucks, doesn't it?"
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking back and forth like they're watching a tennis match. Which way to go?
Well, if you factor in all of the technological advances that will be occurring post haste upon that shift, probably won't be much of a fun world, because there won't be any choices that you can make.
Right. That's where we go to the late, great George Carlin, who not too long before his assassination had said, "You've only got one choice in America, paper or plastic." Because he was talking about how the elections are just there to give you the illusion that you have a choice. You've only got one choice in America, paper or plastic.
Right.
And, like, you know, there was such insane emotion with this last election.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to point out to people that both of these major parties are owned and operated by the same financial interests and have been since before our grandparents were born.
Right.
So it's like you were born into the trap. You were born in the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all a game of divide and conquer.
Oh, yeah. And the one of the funnier games is that one between flat earthers and round earthers. There was somebody on Facebook today who was just, he's kind of a radical, and he had gotten a group together, and they were going to prove once and for all he was going to fight the round earthers and show them all that it was a flat earth. And I felt like writing, well, Einstein said you can't resolve a problem by resolving it at the same level it was created.
Yeah.
But he's going to fight it, and he'll do whatever he does, and they'll do whatever they do. And, you know, people do what they do, and they do.
Mm-hmm. Of course, everything out there is a sphere, but we're flat, right?
I don't know. I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't care either, but for those of us who've done enough out-of-body travel, remote viewing, and so on and so forth, we've had the experience of being outside of the Earth and looking
at it. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so it doesn't look very flat.
No. Very big balls.
Yes.
And either you've landed in the land of the gods and you mistook someone's testicles for planets, or, you know, you were actually seeing the planets.
Yeah. But again, everything else out there is a sphere. And speaking of the spheres, of course, now our friends, Never a Straight Answer, over there at NASA, they do pick up things and they're momentarily on their website and then they take them down. Recently, there is a very clear view of three large celestial bodies near the sun.
Hmm.
And it was taken down within a matter of minutes, but we've got thousands of people like monitoring NASA and their website. And so, too late. The researchers already had it and was spread all over the Internet before NASA could even take it down.
Good.
Yeah, but at least it's not on their website.
Right.
Because there are still all these people who are saying, well, it's not on NASA's website. It must not be real then.
Well, we have come to the end of another show, my friend.
Oh, okay.
That was even faster than the last one. I mean, it's just a blink of an eye.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, I love talking to you. I always enjoy having you on the show.
And remember, we'll just email here. We've got to get you an appointment for your next reading here.
Oh, yes. I love your readings. Yeah. They're absolutely the best.
Thank you.
So any of you people that didn't get a reading because there was some screw-up with the people who hacked your emails, keep trying because you're getting the best.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Tim, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Take care.